Because of his high voltage romance with Brandy Skimmel, aka Screamer, now also known by a very few as Tessa Canyon, Neely knew all the back alleys and deserted streets of Messina. He circled Carr's Hill, where they paused for a moment to look down at the football field. The line of well-wishers still ran along the track and out the front gate. The lights on the home side were on. The parking lot was full of cars coming and going. Neely said, "They say Rake would sit up here after they fired him and watch the games." "They should have put him in jail," Cameron said, her first and only word since leaving home. They parked near a practice field and sneaked through a gate on the visitor's side. They climbed to the top row of the bleachers and sat down, still with a gap between them, though closer than on the front porch. For a long time, they watched the scene on the other side of the field. The white tent rose like a small pyramid in front of the home stands. The casket was barely visible under it. A crowd was gathered, enjoying the vigil. Miss Lyle and the family had left. Racks of flowers were accumulating around the tent and up and down the sideline. A silent parade of mourners inched along the track, patiently waiting for the chance to sign the register, see the casket, perhaps shed a tear, and say farewell to their legend. Up in the stands behind the line of people, Rake's boys of all ages were grouped in small packs, some talking, some laughing, most just staring at the field and the tent and the casket. Only two people were in the visitor stands, unnoticed. Cameron spoke first, very softly. "Who are those people up in the bleachers?" "Players. I was up there last night and the night before, waiting for Rake to die." "So they're all coming home." "Most of us. You came home." "Of course. We're burying our most famous citizen." "You didn't like Rake, did you, Cameron?" "I was not a fan. Miss Lyle is a strong woman, but she was no match for him. He was a dictator on the field, and he had trouble turning it off when he got home. No, I didn't care for Eddie Rake." "You hated football." "I hated you, Neely, and that made me hate football." "Atta girl." "It was silly, grown men crying after a loss. The entire town living and dying with each game. Prayer breakfast every Friday morning as if God cares who wins a high school football game. More money spent on the football team than on all other student groups combined. Worshipping 17-year-old boys who quickly become convinced they are truly worthy of being worshipped. The double standard. A football player cheats on a test, everybody scrambles to cover it up. A non-athlete cheats, and he gets suspended. The stupid little girls who can't wait to give it up to a Spartan. All for the good of the team. Messina needs its young virgins to sacrifice everything. Oh, and I almost forgot. The pep girls. Each player gets his own little slave who bakes him cookies on Wednesday and puts a spirit sign in his front yard on Thursday and polishes his helmet on Friday. And what do you get on Saturday, Neely? A quickie? Only if you want it. It's such a sad scene. Thank you, Neely, for shoving me out of it. Looking back with the clear hindsight of 15 years, it did indeed seem silly. "But you came to the games," Neely said. "A few of them." "You have any idea what this town is like on Friday night away from the field? There's not a soul anywhere. Phoebe Cox and I would sneak over here on the visitor's side and watch the games. We always wanted Messina to lose, but it never happened, not here. We ridicule the band and the cheerleaders and the pep squad and everything else. And we did so because we were not a part of it. I couldn't wait to get to college." "I knew you were up here." "No, you didn't. I swear I knew." Faint laughter drifted across the field as another Rake story found its mark among his boys. Neely could barely make out Silo and Paul and the group of 10 others just under the press box. The beer was flowing. "After you took the plunge in the back seat," she said, "and I was tossed aside, we still had 2 years left in this place. There were moments when I'd see you in the hall or the library or even in the classroom, and our eyes would meet just for a second. Gone was the cocky sneer, the arrogant look of everybody's hero. Just for a split second, you would look at me like a real person, and I would know that you still cared. I would have taken you back in a heartbeat. And I wanted you. That's hard to believe, Neely. It's true. Ah, but of course, the joy of sex. I couldn't help myself, Neely said. Congratulations, Neely. You and Screamer began your adventures together at the age of 16. Look at her now, fat and tired. Did you ever hear the rumor she was pregnant? Are you kidding, Neely? Rumors are like mosquitoes in this town. The summer before our senior year, she tells me she's pregnant. What a surprise. Basic biology. So we drove to Atlanta, got an abortion, drove back to Messina. I swear I never told a soul. Rested 24 hours and back in the rut. Close. Look, Neely, I'm really tired of your sex life. It was my curse for many years. Either change the subject or I'm out of here.